I love these folks that are going to be coming today, sharing with us. They are dear friends. Pam and Rory, come on up. These guys are more than just guest ministers. They are dear friends of Southgate. We love these guys. Come up with us, Pam. Father, I pray your blessing upon these wonderful people. You've had your hand upon them for a long time. You've kept them alive in hard times. You have literally kept them alive. And I thank you for them, and I thank you for their heart, for their courage, Lord. They have had courage. They've had the strength of the Lord to stand when nobody saw them standing, when no one saw what they were doing, when no one gave a care about what was going on in their life. You cared, and they stood. Like Joshua said, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong in the Lord. They did it. And I thank you for that, and they continue to do it. And it blesses me to be their friend. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Rory's going to go first, right? Okay.
Well, we're very excited to be with you here today. It's been quite a year, hasn't it? Who would have ever thought that there would come a time when people in the grocery store would be fighting because one has a mask and one doesn't have a mask? It seems like we're facing a time where there's more division in the world than there ever has been. And what's interesting is that early in our ministry training, what I was taught was that our job isn't to take a political stand, you know, and divide people. Our job as ministers was to take the truth of God and share it with people and hopefully unite people together. Amen. So as we start this morning, I hope and pray that the words we speak would be the words that God would give us, that would touch hearts, that would transform lives, that would draw us all closer together, that there wouldn't be any offense, and stories that we tell or what have you, but we would just be drawn together. So, Lord, we invite you in. Yes, yes. Father, we never want to do this on our own. We only want to do it with your Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. So, Father, bring us together as one body, Lord. Even where we have differences of opinion, help us, Lord, to focus on you, your goodness, your grace and mercy, your loving kindness, Lord, your many attributes that are just too magnificent for us to even understand or comprehend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we had to learn a lot this year, right? I mean, it was even so scary to think, what if I get down to that last roll of toilet paper? How am I going to survive? We were told so many different messages. We were told to stock our pantries for 2 weeks' worth of groceries. Well, at our house, that was very hard to do. You know, you go out and you spend, I don't know, $200, $600. I probably don't even want to know how much it was. But then you get home, and as you're putting everything away, there's always that one item that's not there. Oh, you forgot the tapatio. How are we going to get by? It's been very interesting. How do we social distance? How do we learn to do church through Zoom calls? I know on Easter Sunday, we had some challenges, and because Zoom was overwhelmed, I think it took us like 40 minutes before we actually got to start our service, which is always very challenging. But, you know, as we heard these messages from different government officials, from health department officials, from local mayors, judges, we heard a lot of different messages throughout the country on shelter in place, shelter at home, safer at home, stay at home, safer at work, you know. And there was a lot of different thoughts on what we were actually supposed to do. But as believers, we know that our shelter is in God. Our true shelter is to shelter in God. And when I think about that, you know, there's no better place to start than looking in the book of Psalms. And hopefully
Everyone has toilet paper. I didn't bring any extra today, so I think we might be over that as a state now. But it has been an ongoing adventure, hasn't it? Because that term shelter in place, what was it originally used for? It was used when there was impending danger, like if you were in a place where a hurricane was coming in or a chemical plant exploded nearby, you were told to shelter in place. But our shelter is truly in God Himself. And as we get, before we start into the book of Psalms, in 2007, I was scheduled to go in and have some surgery on my hands. Pam told me, you should do one hand at a time. The doctor advised me that as well. She says, that would be crazy to go and do both at the same time. So, of course, I went and did both at the same time. And I went in early in the morning, and they put me in this little room where you're being prepped for surgery. And as I sat there, I was feeling a bit nervous that, hey, maybe I should have listened to Pam and the doctor. Every once in a while, we get those thoughts, huh? But anyhow, I was in there for so long that I started reading through the book of Psalms, and I went all the way from Psalm 1 to 150 before they actually came in to get me. And I just had this complete feeling of peace and security and comfort as I went in. I was no longer fearful at all. It was quite a blessing. Maybe I should go back for another surgery just to have time to be with God, huh? In Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, we read, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed." When was he going to cry to God? When his heart was overwhelmed. Do you ever get to that point where your heart is overwhelmed and you just want to cry out to God? "Lead me to the rock, which is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." And as I look at those five different things that God was being compared to, those metaphors, you know, a rock, a shelter, a tower, a tabernacle, or even either a supernatural being or like a mother hen with her wings over you comforting you, you know, I started to think about strength, stability, protection, all of these things that it meant, a fortress, even nurture. And I thought to myself, you know, there's so many different attributes of God as our shelter. Which one would be the one I would pick as being my main focus? And then I realized it's really situational, isn't it? It's what we're going through at the time, that need we have, that how God is speaking to us at a certain time depends on how we really see God, because he is so magnificent and available all the time, able to do all things. It's just unbelievable. In Psalm 31, verse 20, it says, "You shall hide me in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion," or in other words, in a shelter, "from the strife of tongues." And if we look at the verse before that, if we add in 31:19, where it says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." So who is it that God is going to hide and protect from the plots of men? Those who fear God, those who trust in God, even in the presence of people that might not have the best intentions. And as we look next at Psalm 91, these words, these promises, they were true for the psalmist when he wrote them. They're true for Jesus because they're messianic in nature, but they're also true for you and I. We start in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. You know, our shelter in God isn't about hiding. It's really about trusting in God. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. So here again we see deliverance, we see protection, we see that we can walk fearless in God. Regardless of what our personal thoughts are, our personal protocol, even within families, there's those that are a lot more concerned and conservative. There's those that want to watch from home and want to see how things go before they come in, and that's fine. And there's those that go out and are happy to be close together. It's really a choice that we have to make. But ultimately, our shelter is in God. Our eternal destination is with God. As we read on, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, as we see the security, the deliverance and protection, it's so much greater than any fear that we could ever have. God's promise of protection is available to all that would turn to Him, to all that would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's interesting when you look at the dictionary definition of shelter. You know, it talks about protection. It talks about protection from danger, protection from weather. Hey, there's even tax shelters so you can hide your money. There's all kinds of shelters. But in God, there's so much more. There is so much more protection from our enemies, from sickness, and even protection from weariness. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah 25:4, "For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall." You know, when you're in your house and you hear those weather forecasts and it rolls in, the winds are strong, it's lightning and thundering, and the rain just beating against the glass, the rain's beating against the wall, you don't have to feel scared unless you have a house like ours. But for most people, they're protected. They're in shelter. But that's God, is that wall, our protection. And lastly, Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Selah. So in the Bible, we read of this ancient custom when someone had tried to take over the king's throne or done some other wicked thing. Their way of hiding or their way of protecting themselves was to run to the tabernacle and grab the horns or the corners of the altar. And many times that didn't work out very well for them. It didn't always appear to be quite as safe as they had projected. But God, being our place of shelter, it isn't about a location. It's about a relationship. It's about a very personal and intimate relationship with a loving God. So God is our shelter, a shelter that is about trusting and not about hiding. And if you want to hear the second half of the message, I'll have to turn it over to Pam.
You're so funny. you get the variety platter today. Rory and I, as he was preparing, he stopped. He said, "I think you're supposed to give the message this week." I said, "Oh, no, buddy. It's your message this week." And he said, no, I think it's yours. And I said, "Well, maybe it's for both of us, because we really do the best when we minister together. We've been in ministry in different capacities, and as many of you know, I used to work for a nonprofit women's nonprofit and shelter, come to think of it, which is funny. But the reason that I'm not working anymore for the shelter is that I desired to be back in ministry with my husband. We do better when we are ministering together. Rory has had a couple operations on his hands. You know I'm going to finish his story, right? This wasn't in my notes, but there is more to that story. I was having trouble not saying it. Was that operation when you had both your hands done at once right before we opened our church? Okay. There was a couple times. That was right before we opened the church we were pastoring. And so at the same time, I got skin cancer on my face, and I had to have an operation on my face, and it was removed, and then there was more, and it was removed. And the funny thing is that the first Sunday that we ministered, he had both his hands bandaged up like this, and I had half my face covered in a bandage. We said, "Hey, welcome." So I had to share that because that was kind of funny. So sheltering in place. Another quick thing I wanted to share before I actually get started is Rory and I have been doing some Zoom calls with our church. So I have one what I do with the children on Tuesday morning, and on Tuesday evening we have one that we do together for the adults. And during one, I don't know, must have been 2-3 weeks ago, I was teaching, and I was telling them about your church. I was talking about, I just reached out to tell some of the people about this wonderful church, who I go to church with. But I was telling them, you know, once in a while, Rory and I minister at the Duncanville Foursquare Church. And it's so amazing because they go to ministry in about like 5 to 60 miles an hour in about 5 minutes right out the gate of starting. This is such a powerful place to do ministry. And I went on to see tell them how free it was and all these wonderful things about your church. Well, I'm telling you that because I think it was the next day or shortly after that that Pastor Gary emailed us about speaking here. I thought maybe his ears were tickling when I was talking about the church. Anyway, shelter in place. Shelter in place has been an interesting time. We, as Rory said, we've learned so much new language. And one of the ones that really gets me in a little shop that's near our house is contactless, how do they put it? Contactless curb service. But I think there's more words than that in it. And it's on a sign out in front. And I think, what does that even mean? Contactless curb service. So this is a time when contactless, and I'm not even sure, is that a real English word? Is it? I mean, I think there's people in this room that probably know that, but I was trying to wrap my mind around this new word came, contactless. And how do you cannot stay contactless in ministry, right? You cannot stay contactless as a child of God, because God is a contact-to-contact person, right? So this is something new. And even though we've come out of sheltering at home, sheltering in place, I find that I am staying at home a little more. Not out of fear, but because some of the things are not completely open in my town. Some of the places I want to go are not completely open. And our church is doing more at-home office work. So I am at home more. But it has been a wonderful time for me. This has been a wonderful time to take refuge in the Lord. For Rory and I, it has been not rushing out to go to the office in the morning, not getting kids to school in the morning, but it has been an extended time of prayer, an extended time of worship, and an extended time of reading, and I am just burning my journal up, if you know what I mean. So I was looking at Exodus 33:18 in the Bible that kind of explains the place that shelter in place can be rather than a negative. So we're right here. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Yeah. We see here that Moses said, "Please show me your glory." God had asked the Israelites to leave the land which they were dwelling. He had new promises for them. They had wandered around the desert for 40 years, and God had a new promised land that they were to step into. Exciting, right? Full of new promise, full of new things. That land was promised to have milk and flowing honey, and it was also said to have a few wars that were going to come with it, as stepping in new ground does, right? But Moses didn't want to go there without God. He did not want to step into the new land without God. It says here in verses 15 through 16, "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here.'" Don't do it. What I want to wrap my mind around about these passages of them preparing to leave what they had in their life behind and move forward is just this posturing of loving God more than the promises, right? Promises are great, and I believe in promises, and I know God has a promise for every single, more than one promise, for every single person in here, and I know God has a plan. However, our one-to-one contact with God, not contactless, but contact with him, is the first priority. We cannot leave home without it, right? And so we see here, it's very interesting, because it says that he, in verses 15 and 16, he beseeched God to go with him. So we see here in 15 and 16, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up. For how then will it be known that your people have found grace in your sight except you go with us?" So that's been the wonderful time of shelter in place. It's the equipping. Because when we do go out, or we find times in our shelter place to go out, reach people, do what God has called us to do, and maybe in a new way, right? A new ministry, a new promised land. If we don't go out with the grace and love of God, how will the world that's so turbulent right now know that we are any different? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, we won't go without you. And when we do go, make us go so that the grace we carry, they'll know you're with us. They'll recognize us. They'll recognize the armor. And that's exactly what happened, by the way. The people melted, right? So recognize the armor that we're wearing, the inward mask, the mask of a heart that has been with God, that has protection, right? The anointing from walking with God. And heaven be it, the glory that comes in the time that you spend with him. You're walking out in that glory. Wow, that's pretty incredible. So he beseeched him, which actually the word beseech, it means boldly. He approached God boldly. He asked for something boldly because his desire was not to be separate from God. he had a hunger. That's another thing that sheltering in place has brought, or this time, even, gosh, even more so now, is a hunger, right? A hunger for righteousness. That's really what's going on, really what's going on in the protests, in the crying out, is really a hunger for things to be made right. A hunger for righteousness. It might be misplaced righteousness, or they don't know the true righteousness, but the bottom line is the world needs correct righteousness, right? So, please show me your glory, God. And we can pray that every day, every time we get the opportunity. God, please show me your glory. And I have a feeling that's prayed here a lot, or that type of prayer, because his glory dwells here. Yeah, it's rich and it is real. People, God calls his people to wisdom. Godly wisdom enables us to seek the truth. And that's what he was doing. That's what Moses was doing. He was seeking the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 said that to Thomas, an unbelieving disciple, right? Well, one, he may have been believing, but he had his doubts, as sometimes people do, even as there's just certain times in our life we tend towards a little doubt or a little fear or something, because, you know, we live in a fallen world and we're not all going to be made in perfection until we go to heaven. And so doubting Thomas had some doubts. He wanted some tangible proof. I err in that sometimes. Honestly, I want tangible proof, you know? But we have that proof if you know Jesus, and we've seen his miracles, and we've seen him take us through things, and we've seen his overcoming, and we saw healing today. Amen. We do ministry before we even get started here. It's amazing. Okay. Anyway, so that's what we can bring the world today, is the way. This is the way you go. This is the truth. We can meet up with people and tell them, this is the truth. This is the way. With everything situation, and this is the life. This is the only freedom that you're going to taste this side of heaven, is having that held in a rock, held in a cleft, the glory passing over in front of you. Wow. Moses had already, when he asked this of God, he had already witnessed his power, right? He had already gotten the Ten Commandments. He had already seen the sea part. He had already seen and been eating manna from heaven. He had already been called forward to a burning bush and given everything he needed for ministry, even when he didn't feel equipped. So Moses had already seen the power of God. He longed, though, for something more than God's presence. He longed for God's person. We have to long for God's person. He's the only way that we can really be equipped. He wanted to assume the same heart. He wanted to walk not alongside of him, but with him, right? So God placed Moses in a rock in verses 21, 22, he covered him with his hand. God had his hand on Moses. God has his hand on you. Amen. And on me and on Rory. Moses was exposed to God's manifested glory because he asked. He just asked. All you have to do is ask. God, I don't want to go without you. Can you expose me to your manifested glory in this situation? I almost wanted to sing a song when I was writing this. Maybe it's prophetic for you and Judy, because it's a secular song. Not that you're all about secular, but it reminded me of you when you're telling me what you're playing. And that is, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. I would go on, but I'm not going to. Okay. He wanted God's manifested glory, and because he wanted it, he beseeched it, he begged for it, he would not move without it. He experienced the fullness of God. That gives us a different view of shelter in place, doesn't it? When you think of God's hand sheltering him in place. Woo, that's available, That's available. God's shelter is available. So Psalm 19, 1:14 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in your word." You are my hiding place. You are my shield, and I hope in your word. That was the life verse for the Ten Boom family. I'm going to try to end really quickly because I know we need to go. But the Ten Boom family had lived through World War II, as most of you know, and they were Dutch watchmakers. Corrie ten Boom, the daughter, was a Dutch watchmaker alongside of her family. But they were Christian Dutch reformists. And so this verse is what led them to hide countless Jewish families inside of their watch shop. Countless ones. Their family stood on this verse. "You are my hiding place, my shield, and I hope in your word." Corrie and the whole family was arrested because somebody tipped off the authorities on what they were doing. And when Corrie went on to leave, knowing that she was headed to a concentration camp, a extreme place of shelter, she hid her Bible underneath her dress. She snuck a Bible into the Nazi concentration camp with her sister. Yeah. And what I found really interesting when I thought about this is that scripture, which she shares this in her book, The Hiding Place, but this scripture that they used to feed and to hide and to clothe many Jewish families became her scripture in shelter. So she sheltered people, and then God gave it to her as a shelter in her place of oppression. Wow. So I wanted to share this quote with you that she wrote because I just thought it was fitting for right now. "Do you know what hurts so very much? It's love. Love is the strongest force in the world. And when it's blocked, that means pain. That's why we're seeing some of the unrest we're seeing. Because people need love. It's blocked. When it's blocked, we see pain. There are two things we can do when this happens. We can kill that love so that it stops hurting. But then, of course, part of us dies too. Or we can ask God to open up another route for that love to travel. This is the time, this is my words now, this is the time in our culture as Christians that we have to open up more and new routes for love. Wow, never has there been a time like this. We've seen turbulence. I'm old enough that I've seen turbulence actually all over the world. But this is different. And it's right here in our backyards. Roy and I go on a missions trip. We spent some time in Africa permanently, but we go on mission trips every single year. We're not going this year because the countries are not, some of them aren't opening up. But even if they said it wasn't time to go, I really feel our ministries are here. I've been saying this from the beginning, that when we get through to the other side of this, there's going to be some people that need deliverance. There's going to be people that need to be redeemed, because there's going to be people that need grief training or grief counseling because of the loss. Not just loss of lives, but loss of jobs and loss of normalcy. There's been part of our country that has not seemed like our country, you know? And the next generation is going to need a lot, especially the little ones. You know, I was in a store yesterday, and a mom was shopping without a mask on with her two little kids, and I was watching, she just caught my eye, it made me cry. The oldest little girl that was probably 6 didn't have, you know, they didn't wear a mask. So she was looking around at everybody, and she took her little T-shirt, and she covered her nose, you know, because she can see it's changed, right? And so they're going to need deliverance from fear. They're going to need the okay to rebuild. They're going to need the okay to stand up and lead, because leading's been confusing, and they're going to need the truth, right? They're going to need the truth. Yeah. So there was a man on the news I was watching the other night, and he was in Washington, D.C., and there had been some turbulent protests. And as you know, it's been pretty bad in Washington, D.C. And so he lives in this house. I don't know if you know what a row house is, but kind of like a condominium put together. And some peaceful protesters, a group of them, you know, the police were pushing them back, rightfully so, because, you know, they don't, it's just a lot to handle. And they were pushing them back, and they ran down a cul-de-sac, so a street that had no entrance on the other side. And this man's house happened to be on that street. And so 70 protesters were in front of his house. Do you know what he did? Did anyone see the story? He opened the door. He opened the door and invited them in. Okay, so I had to stop and think, because this is where I say I get logistical, you know, and I try to think of that. I'm like, how many bathrooms did he have? I don't have food to feed 70 people without planning, because he kept them overnight and didn't let them out till the morning, right? What an opportunity, right? I mean, whether they were right or wrong is not the thing. He had 70 desperate people in front of his house. That's a ministry opportunity, right? So he invites them in, and he was just glowing on the news, and people said, you let 70 strangers in your house. He goes, oh, they're not strangers anymore. Yeah, I guess not. I wonder what the conversation was like. I know what my conversation, mine and Rory's, would have been. The way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, and love. Yeah. So I'm going to end there. The Jewish people celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is building a sukkah, which is probably actually sukkah over them. And they use plant material on the outside. And I have a friend that is a missionary in Israel, and she posts this every year. They put it out on the balcony. And what they're doing is that they're reliving or visiting when the Israelites for 40 years wandered in the desert and lived under these temporary shelters, right? So what struck me is that even in their wandering, God provided shelter. And that's what happened to those 70 people. Even in their wandering, even in their running, a door opened for them for safety and for shelter. That's incredible. So I wanted to pray for you as we end. And we already had a time where we got up. So I just want everyone to close their eyes. And if you resonate with any of these, just raise your hand just to ask God, to show God your heart. Psalm 143, 9 through 11. Deliver me, O God, from my enemies. If you need deliverance today, if there's anything that is blocking you from fear or anger, unrest, anything, I pray, Lord God, for your deliverance over this today. You know the needs, Lord God. I ask that you break those bondages, Lord, that you set people free in the power of your name. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and your spirit is good. Lord, I pray if anyone needs wisdom, Lord God, if they need to be teachable, Lord God, because there's so much new things for us to learn right now, to know how to navigate this season. If you need to be teachable right now, I know I need to be teachable right now. Lord, have your way, Lord God. Open minds to see the truth. Give us wisdom to see you, Lord God, and your glory, Lord God. Give us wisdom to ask, Lord God, to go with you in every situation. Lead me in the land of a brightness. If you need to be led, and you may feel like you've been making not right choices during this time, whatever that would be, oh, Lord God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you lead them into the land, Lord God. Lead them into the promised land of right choices, Lord Jesus, from consecrating, Lord God, themselves to you. even if we have to do it again, even if it needs to be a renewal, Lord God, renewal for a new spirit. Revive me, Lord, for my name's sake. And I just pray revival, revival, and renewness, and new life, Lord God, and a regeneration of spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. So if we responded today to deliverance, teachable, knowledge, wisdom, to be led and revived, Lord God, we just love you and we thank you for these people that raised their hands. And we know, Selah, Lord God, your word will be done. You will watch over your word to perform it in Jesus' name. Amen.